Well, good evening, everybody. It is the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday evening on East Portage Avenue. We're at the Antlers where we always are. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. And I'm not sure if we got a player joining us tonight or not. Usually Damon gets hold of me during the day and lets me know about that. I didn't hear from him, so we'll ask him in a minute. But one way or the other, we got a show for you here tonight. And this is the fastest hour on 1400. We'll be out of here before we know it. We want to hit things that we always do. I can tell you right now, the Lakers remain number 20 in the USCHAO poll. They did not drop, even though they lost a game on the weekend, but they also won a game on the weekend. And really, I thought played pretty well. We'll talk about that series in just a minute. We'll hit the players of the week from the WCHA before we go any farther. Our offensive player of the week was Gavin Gould from Michigan Tech, junior, and he's a young guy that Damon knows a little bit about. He had three straight goals on Saturday night, scored the natural hat trick in a 7-2 win against Alaska. He was a +3 in the series, and that team right now, Michigan Tech, atop the standings in the league with a 6-0 mark and 18 points. First place all alone. Honorable mention offensive player of the week went to Gage Terrell. He's the senior, of course, for the Lakers. He had two goals on Friday night in a 4-2 win against Northern Michigan. Defensive player of the week, Tyler Rockwell, Michigan Tech sophomore defenseman. He had 3 points, was a +4 against Alaska in the two games. He had a goal and two assists. He blocked a couple of shots as well. And an honorable mention, defensive player of the week, Steven Ruggiero of the Lakers, who had a +3 rating, a goal, and three blocked shots in that split with Northern Michigan. Goaltender of the week, Zach Driscoll from Bemidji State. Bit of a surprise there. I figured Ate Tolvanen might win that, but he lost a game. So Driscoll gets the honor, the Bemidji State sophomore, a 4-2 win on Saturday night over Minnesota State. He had only 19 saves in that game, but gets goaltender of the week honors. Honorable mention was Nick Kossoff, who had 40 saves in the two games in the split against Northern Michigan. And Nick was outstanding. Maybe one that he'd like to have back out of the goals that he allowed on the weekend, but he made a lot of big saves in the weekend series as well. Rookie of the week, Owen Sillinger from Bemidji State. The freshman had two assists, was a +3 in a split with Minnesota State. And honorable mention, Rookie of the Week was last year's Rookie of the Week, last week's Rookie of the Week, Ashton Calder from the Lakers, who had two assists Friday night in that 4-2 win against Northern Michigan. Damon Witten's here with us, a 4-2 win on Friday night, a really tough 2-1 loss on Saturday. I thought you played really well in both games and probably should have won them both, really, but Ate Tolvanen had other ideas. He's a pretty good goaltender.
Yeah, no question, and we spent a lot of time talking about him throughout the week with our team and you and I in different media events throughout the week, and you know, I think my one comment in the paper was he's like a bad fungus. It seems like he's been around for forever. He's a senior finally, but you know, I know watching, I think he's played 140 or something like that college games. I mean, he's been around, and he's a good goaltender, and he certainly had a huge impact on Saturday night's game. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, a good weekend of hockey, talking to some of the fans here as I walked in. You know, it was entertaining hockey. You know, Coach York, as we talked about Friday after the first period, he thought they were the hardest team we'd played in terms of the way they get after you, the physicality with which they play with. And that was after that first period Friday, and they're a good team. So it was good hockey. It was up and down. It's everything a rivalry should be. So a real hard-hitting series. I thought Friday's game, you know, we played well, liked our game. There's no question about it. When you look at two of the goals that we scored, you know, Anthony Nellis made a good play, but scored almost went with his body on the wall there on the boards. I think it was our first goal, I believe. And yes, then Colin Sockerman's power play goal off the defense. Again, another good play. We had a guy wide open back door, and their D-man just got in front of it, and it went off his skate and in the net. So the game was probably a little bit tighter in some ways, although, as you mentioned, their second goal to make it 4-2, I think about midway through the third period, tighten that up a little bit. But that was a goal that, you know, what wasn't a great goal either. So the game, you know, was, we had a little bit more offense than maybe, you know, typically you're going to get on Tolvanen and the way those went in. So I liked our game, and I thought we deserved to win that game, played well enough to win that game, and we did, and that was positive. But, you know, maybe a little bit more offense should have been a little bit tighter than maybe the score indicated there because of some of the way those goals get in. But Gage Terrell, a couple of huge goals, really nice to get him. You know, he had 9 points, I think, coming into the weekend, a point per game guy, but all assist. So nice to finally get Gage a couple goals on the board there. And His confidence will be up, and he's played really well for us, and probably our most reliable forward defensively as well. And he doesn't get a lot of credit, a lot of talk about the way he plays. 200-foot game, but playing really well. And again, nice to get that offense. Ashton Calder, actually Brendan McKay made the original play coming out of our zone. We talked about the way their defensemen like to play aggressively. So Brendan McKay made a nice chip up the ice, and then Gage Terrell kind of broke in with Ashton following it up, and Ashton made just a beautiful pass to set Gage in all alone. And Gage made no mistake, a real pretty goal there and a real nice play there. And a big momentum goal late in the period there. And then we came out second period, scored a goal right away as well. And that really, really, I think, took them out of the game from there. There wasn't much of a threat from their end. Nick was timely in the saves he had to make until their late second goal there. So a real good win. And then flipping to Saturday, I'm not sure, how much more we could have done. Now, I didn't think we were great. I thought Saturday was one of our, I guess, weaker performances of the year. I thought we lacked some urgency in some areas. Give them credit. They won more battles there than they did on Friday night. And I thought they showed a little bit more urgency at times. I thought we just fought the puck a little bit. We had, I think, six offsides in the night. And that's not good enough. That's not acceptable. Whether, they're all great calls or not, you can't give the linesman an opportunity. Opportunities to call close plays. And I just thought it showed, that we weren't as sharp as we had been. So I didn't think we were as good. And they're probably, part of the reason for that. Again, they came hard at us. But having said that, I'm not sure we could generate a whole lot more than we did. We had a breakaway and a penalty shot for Anthony Nellis, made a good play, and Tolvanen made the save. Talking again, some fans before there, that the, probably the greatest sequence of the game was a great play up to Ashton Calder, who walked in all alone. He made a great scoring chance on a breakaway. And even better, I liked about Ashton was he stopped in front of the net. He gathered his rebound, hit Max Humets all alone back door. Somehow Tolvanen got over, made a big save on Humets, and then the rebound save on Humets as well. So there was a sequence there in about 6 seconds of just three unbelievable scoring chances, and we didn't get it by Tolvanen, and that was a little bit of the, I guess the message of the night, that he wasn't going to have it. He was going to steal that game. Earlier in the game, Braden Gelsinger had two great chances, a backdoor on the power play. Diego Cuglietta made a couple of nice passes over to Gelsinger. Tolvanen got over, made those saves. So you know what? Like some things about our game, thought we generated some really good chances and just couldn't put one by Tolvanen until late. Steven Ruggiero did a good job late in the game down there to make it a one-goal game. We pulled the goalie and gave up the empty net goal and had that separation there. So, difficult because again, big points on the line and in a big series and a UP rivalry, but liked a lot of things we did. Had our chances. Again, I'm not sure that probably maybe in some ways deserved to win that game Saturday, but Tolvanen was a difference and did a really good job. So it was huge. Nick Kossoff, having said that, what'd you say, 40 saves on the weekend? So didn't get a lot of work. But I thought Nick was really, really good. He made those timely saves, which is what you need out of your goaltenders. It's another weekend where he didn't see a ton of action. We didn't give up a ton of great A's, but they come in on some great chances. And I thought Nick was really solid, made those critical key saves that you really need out of your goaltenders. So I really liked his performance that way. Obviously, kind of news that we went with Nick two games this weekend. We went back to back after a real good Friday performance, and so it was nice to see Nick answer there. Unfortunately, didn't get the win. But a real good performance out of our goaltender as well.
Yeah, it was just a really entertaining weekend, I think, and that's what it's all about. We're in the entertainment business, playing hockey at the Division I level, and there have been games in recent years that weren't all that entertaining, so I think the fans really, really enjoy seeing the Lakers playing as well as they are. And, man, you named some of the chances, that three-shot sequence there in the third period. Humets got robbed a couple of times after Calder was stopped point blank, and there was a shot from the blue line from Ruggiero too that got through a lot of traffic, and how he saw that puck,
the toe, he got
me.
The toe,
he got
on
a
that
toe
one.
On it,
yep.
And kicked it away. It was an incredible save. He is a really, really good goaltender, that kid, and we won't be sorry to see him move on. And he really stole that game. And Northern Michigan's picked to finish preseason by the coaches and the media second place, no worse, the same place they were last year. So there's a lot of respect for their team, and with good reason. They're a good team. They sat out Phil Ballew and Darian Craighead Saturday night, two of their best players, and they won the hockey game.
Yeah, a couple of messages being sent there, and yeah, you know, again, they've got the respect. They've been there. You know, they've got players last year that had, you know, Rockwood. You look at the year he had, Blue. They've got guys that have had, you know, all league performances last year. And again, they get the goaltending, the great equalizer there, having Tolvanen back there and that. So it's a good hockey team, you know, and you put the rivalry on top of it, and you know, it's just gonna be hard hitting. But it was a physical affair, and you know, a tight checking affair, and it was good. Like you said, it was entertaining. Heard a lot from fans. Had a chance to go across the bridge last night and sit with a lot of our Laker alumni. Julia was there, and Archie was there, and Denny Bolton, and you know, a couple other guys there. And you know, they didn't get to the games this weekend, but they've been around. And just same thing, you know, it's we're playing hockey. We've got a good hockey team, and we're getting after it. And you know, like a lot of things we're doing, I still think we need to, you know, a little bit more consistent secondary scoring from our forward group. We're getting that, you know, a real good effort from our defensemen, contributing both with goals and points from the back end, and that's been really good. We'd like to solidify some things with you know, some of our depth forwards right now, and those change, you know, those different guys in and out there as well. But it'd be nice to get a little bit more from that end there. They're playing well, they're doing a good job in those roles, but if they can chip in a little bit, I think it makes us a real deadly team.
Yeah, we've moved the puck well on the power play. It was pretty effective on both nights, at least getting the puck to the net. We didn't get as many shots maybe as we'd like, but I thought Northern did a good job packing it in front of Tolvanen and blocking shots and tying up sticks. There was a lot of in tight grabbing, clutching, holding on to arms, that sort of thing going on. But hey, if you can get away with it, I guess that's all part of the game. One of the things I was going to ask you about tonight, you just kind of hit on a second ago, and that's how offensive the defense is this year for Lake Superior. Right now, Colin Sackelman has 6 goals, Steven Ruggiero has 3, Kybel's got 9 points, 2 of those are goals, Nordquist's got a couple of goals, he has 10 points. Your D is really chipping in on the offensive end of things.
Well, and I think Will Rydell is 2-2 maybe as well, and you know, we saw him get some power play opportunities this weekend. So yeah, no, they're doing a really good job. And again, I think we talked last week, Bill, or at some point, that you know, last spring we talked a lot with our this D core, and thought they had a chance to be, you know, a really dynamic group again in the WCHA, but nationally. And you know, we've got some really good players back there, and there's good complements. There's some guys that defend at extremely high level, some really good offensive talent, some guys like Colin who do both of those things really well. You know, he's a guy that he might be leading the nation in D goal scoring right now, but and he also might be leading the nation in block shots. So it's a real good mix to have there. Yeah, and those guys have played at a really high level there, and you know, we need to continue to get that effort from them. Obviously, this week it flips around. You know, they're going to have to really defend at a high level, and I think this weekend, I'm sure we'll talk more and more about Mankato coming up, but it's going to have a different feel than the last couple of weeks. We've played big, heavy teams like Bowling Green and Northern Michigan. Mankato brings a different brand in. They're still heavy. They still have some guys that really come at you, but they add in an element of speed and skill that, you know, we probably haven't seen maybe since Michigan, and probably even more so than Michigan. So it's going to be a whole different test this weekend, and you know, what a great opportunity to bring in a top-ranked team in the country. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and one of the tough things is they lost the last game they played. Mike Hastings will be using that all week in practice, and they'll be coming in here fired up on Friday night. They are ranked 4th in the nation in the poll. St. Cloud State, just for your information before we take our first break, is ranked number 1. Minnesota Duluth is 2, and UMass has moved up with an 11-1 record to 3rd in the nation. Minnesota State is 4th, and then Ohio State, Penn State, and Denver are 5 through 7. Notre Dame's playing at home tonight against Northern Michigan. That'll be a great game. You'll have Ate Tolvanen going up against Jeff Jackson's high-powered offensive team, and that'll be a good one to keep an eye on the score later on this evening. Bowling Green right now is ranked number 12. The Lakers are 20. 3 teams in the top 20 from the WCHA. We're going to take our first break on the show tonight. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. It's a cold Tuesday night in Sault Ste. Marie, but those of you listening in out of town tonight, we've lost most of our snow over the weekend. We had some rain, which was really pleasant. Now we have very little snow here in the Sioux, but we do have cold weather tonight. Damon Whitten and I talking Laker hockey, and We got a good crowd on hand here tonight. I got a bunch of questions from these people tonight. We're going to have to spend a segment on this show doing the questions from the fans who've joined us here tonight. One of the things before we move on to Minnesota State coming in this weekend, Damon, we had crowds of 1,318 plus this past weekend. And it's always tough. It's a holiday weekend, Thanksgiving, et cetera. We have no students on campus. You could look across both nights and see that ABC section just wide open for the most part. But those are still pretty good crowds. Not bad at all. That shows you this team's playing better. People want to be entertained. They're coming out, paying to watch the Lakers play. And Northern brought a lot of fans with them, which is good if you're going to play on a holiday weekend. But let's talk for just a second about why we played at home on a holiday weekend. A lot of people want to know, why don't they protect that day? Why do they play on a holiday? Well, somebody's got to be at home on the holiday. We can't protect everything. How many we can protect? What, two a year that we can?
Right. Yeah. You know, it depends when some of your non-conference. Well, and I first, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we do appreciate everybody coming out on a holiday weekend. It was good. Like you said, it was a little bit better than maybe expected. And we addressed it with our team. You know, certainly the student section brings a different energy and even a visual cue when you walk out and see that. So we were concerned about our team, you know, handling that. And I, you know, give them credit. I thought they did a really good job to come out and play. And like I said, when you walk out and you see A, B, and C, there's part of the reason why we moved that section is so that, you know, our players can visually see that and along with hear the students who bring that noise and energy. So, you know, I thought our team did a good job, but we appreciate our fans coming out on a holiday weekend. But yeah, you're right. I mean, these schedules get done a year or two in advance. And I think last year we were home for three weekends and we had no students and it was really difficult and challenging. But yeah, you get a couple different weekends to protect or pick. When you submit your request and then, you know, the league has to go through and match things up and assign things as it is. So, like I said, there, you know, there's, I don't know, four or five series and somebody's going to be home and somebody's gonna be on the road. And so some years, like last year, you get two, three bad dates when there's no students in and around the holidays and things like that. And this year it's a little bit better with only the one date in. So it's unfortunate, it's challenging, but, everybody kind of faces it and, you know, we got to keep doing our thing. And I know we have a couple of good promotions this weekend. United Way is sponsoring or working with us for Friday night's game, Light the Lamp. And, you know, you can follow United Way and just kind of bring some recognition, some partnership with the things we do with that, like the Thanksgiving giveaway where their food truck came up to campus and we had our whole team there helping unload the truck and help families in need to go home and have a holiday with, you know, a good meal. So that was nice to partner with United Way. And then Saturday is Jersey night where any youth in the community 17 and under can wear any jersey you want, football jersey, hockey jersey, you know, hopefully they're Laker jerseys, I guess, but any jersey gets you in for free on Saturday as well. So a couple of good promotions going on this weekend as well.
And there will be a tailgate gathering on Saturday before the game at 5:30 at the Alumni House. If you're a member of the Alumni Association, that's free. They ask that you bring a dish to pass for that one, but they will provide beverages and they will have some burgers and brats and things like that there. And $5 to anybody who's not a member, so pretty cheap dinner. You can go over there at 5:30 and eat and then head over to the hockey game. And we do have Minnesota State coming in this weekend. This is the fourth-ranked team in the nation. Mike Hastings is a very good coach. They've had a good team for as long as we've been in the WCHA and always a really tough series when we play against them. We don't expect it to be any different this weekend, but they got some high-powered boys in their lineup again this year. Parker Toomey's a really good player, having a great year. Max Cota is a senior now. They've got just about everything, and they added a goaltender. They've got Matthias Israelsson, who played at Northern Michigan, but he was behind Ate Tolvanen and decided, hey, if I'm ever going to get to play college hockey, I got to go somewhere
get
else.
The heck out of here.
And actually, he graduated at Northern, and what he is he's Matt McArdle, only at Minnesota State. He's a graduate student who's eligible to play immediately, and he's done a great job. He's a good goaltender.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we saw him a little bit in our time. Like you said, he didn't get much time with being behind Tolvanen, but you know, have a little bit of a feel for him, and certainly a lot of video now that he's you know, essentially carrying the water down there. He splits a little bit of time with the freshman Dryden McKay, and Dryden came out of Madison in the USHL, so we know Dryden a little bit as well. But yeah, they throw a lot at you. I mean, they're a legitimate you know, top three, top five team, whatever you want to call it. They dropped a spot with the loss to Bemidji on Saturday. I'm like you, Bill. I wish they they were still winning 9-10 games in a row, and maybe you feel like they let their foot off the pedal a little bit, get a little complacent. But coming off a loss, Mike will have them ready to go and whipped up into a frenzy. So they throw a lot at you. You mentioned a couple of those guys: Michaelis Spooner, Toomey, Charlie Girard's having a good year. Connor Mackey, young defenseman's having a really good year. So they score at a high pace and a high level. Their transition game and their rush game, their rush offense is just tremendous. They're doing a great job of coaching their defensemen. We're getting a lot from our defensemen, but when you watch them play, you see their D activating and joining the rush every single opportunity they get, and they really make you pay if you're not playing on the right side of pucks and having good track habits where you're not letting their defensemen beat you up ice. So that's one area that we've really got to do a good job at, is making sure we're on the right side of pucks with our forwards in the offensive zone, not getting beat up ice, tracking habits, all those things. Real good communication from our D is going to be important as well. We've got to have our D. As fans, you should be able to watch our defensemen this weekend. When we're getting attacked on the rush, you should see guys like Ruggiero and Sockerman and Rydell pointing and communicating our assignments, our coverages out. If you're lax in that, they can really hurt you and confuse you with the numbers they send at you. So that'll be critical. Again, it's a big decor like Mike Hastings has built. They make it very difficult to get to their net, and that's a challenge. And as you mentioned, Israelson has experience from Northern Michigan. He's been around. He's a mature kid as a graduate transfer, so it's not like it's some young guy that hasn't been through the paces. He's been around and been part of some good teams, and there's another threat there. So there's no easy component. I think that's why you see them as a top five team. They have goaltending. They have a good decor. They're getting tremendous offensive output from their top guys in particular, but really their whole team. Play with a ton of pace, ton of skill. Really, really excited for this matchup and to see how they look, how we play with them. I go back to the last couple of weeks. Chris Bergeron talked about how they struggled. Most teams BG had played to that point, had they been able to make them defend a lot and wear them down and flip momentum, things like that. And Chris, Coach Bergeron kind of mentioned that they had a hard time doing that to us. And that's got to be our model. If we're going to have success, we can't have Mankato in our zone all night making us defend. So a lot like them, we want to, continue to shut things down in the defensive end quickly and transition, get our D involved like we've done a good job to do, and play up ice there. So it's going to be a real challenge, a real battle. And again, I think our guys are really excited. It's an interesting week, and you and I were talking off the air. There is no player joining us tonight. We're a week and a half out from finals, and it's that last week where exams are going on, papers are due. So it's a busy week that way with players, and we're trying to manage that and be cognizant of that. The guys mentally have a lot going on, so we're trying to be real meticulous with our practice planning and real dialed in with how much we're asking from them. Obviously, you have to be prepared and to welcome in a team like this, but it's an interesting week as a coach because there's a lot going on academically that's really important and needs its attention, but at the same time, you've got a great team coming in, so we want to make sure we're prepared.
Yeah, they are a very good hockey team. Mike Hastings, they got a big budget over there. Minnesota State's put a real premium on Division I hockey, and they're in Minnesota. A lot of talent around, a lot of good high school players in Minnesota, as we all know. And in fact, look what Grandpa Tolney's doing in Northern Michigan. Most of those players are out of the state of Minnesota, which is where he came from. But, this Minnesota State team went to play the Gophers this year, and then they played them at their place. They played a two-game series, home and home, and Minnesota State beat them twice. And Minnesota's a pretty good hockey team with a pretty good tradition for winning, especially at Mariucci Arena. So this is a good team. They're 10-2 right now. And one thing, you look through their lineup, Damon, they've got some big defensemen. They got a guy like Alec Vanko. They've always had those big guys. Mm-hmm. They've got a little tough guy who's pugnacious, who gets in your face, like Nick Rivera. Yeah, they've always got a guy like that. They've always got guys who can score. They've got Toomey and Michaelis, who are really high-end offensive players. Then they've got some big guys who just knock you down and take the puck to the net like Coda. So
yeah, no,
they're a really well put together team.
Well balanced. And you mentioned some of it. Obviously, there's been a major commitment from that university, into their facilities, into their coaching staff. Todd Knott and Darren Blue do a tremendous job, and they've been around. They've had some continuity. They've made a huge commitment to get Mike Hastings there, and then to keep Mike Hastings there. You mentioned their geography. I think one of the real big pluses they have going for them is almost in the, a real good footprint for them to go hit the USHL and North American League a little bit as well. So there's a lot of hockey played right by them. For us to get to some of those games, we can't pop off on a Sunday afternoon and check those games out. We just can't get there, to time and things like that. So they've got a real good setup going on and made a tremendous commitment. Mike's been around a long, long time, did a tremendous job in Omaha for many years in the USHL. And, Zach was watching. I don't know if Zach Sizek, our assistant coach, if Notre Dame played them the last year or two, or his time at Miami. But just telling him they do one of the best jobs of in-game adjustments. They'll have some wrinkles. They've obviously got all the film on us. So what we're doing, our neutral zone we were talking, has done a real good job, and we've changed through that. And I know they'll bring a wrinkle in. And the last couple of weekends they played a team that's a 1-2-2 through the neutral zone, and we're not a 1-2-2. So really curious to see what they have planned to counter the way we defend throughout the neutral zone. And we'll have to be good on the bench to adjust back and to point out to our guys what they're trying to do. Same thing. If our penalty kill is going well, they'll make a quick, subtle adjustment and attack from a new area. And it's a real battle with them in all areas. They got that talent, ability on the ice, but a real good coaching staff as well. So, again, we're looking forward to it. I like our team. We've played with everybody and anybody that we faced, a great Bowling Green team, a great Michigan team, and this is another big challenge. So we're looking forward to it and can't wait to Friday night.
All righty, we're going to take our second break tonight. We'll be back. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. We've got a ton of questions as well, and we'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the third segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight. We got a lot to talk about here. We're going to get into some Laker stuff here on some of the players. And I guess the first thing to ask, and I've been asked this by a lot of people in the last week or two, is when is Pete Vollette returning to the lineup? And it looks like he might be ready to go this Friday night.
Yeah, we thought there's a chance last weekend. I think there's a chance this weekend. We've got decisions to make, and again, a depth that we like. So, I think if we had to have him last weekend, he could have played, and then probably the same this weekend. So we'll have to make some decisions on him over the next couple of days, and as we move forward here. So, again, a couple small things going through the team, but for the most part, we have the pieces we need. And again, one or two small things that might prevent a guy or two, but nothing major, no major injuries or anything like that.
Yeah, no big time injuries. Do we have any illness issues or anything like that? Are we okay for Friday night?
Yeah, we're okay. We'll be ready to play.
All
right. Just wish it was Friday night.
Okay, now some other things that are going on right now. We've noticed this season a real improvement in skill play by this team, especially power play, penalty kill doing a really good job. We got a couple questions from fans tonight that hit on that sort of thing we'll get into in our last segment. But this is a much improved team on moving the puck this year, and that's been very evident in every game.
Well, I guess there's not really a question there, Bill, but I'll try to expand
on
that. But yeah, expand on that. Yeah, I mean, certainly it's been a focus, through the recruiting process. Again, for me and our staff, and I think people watching today's game, when you watch the NHL, you have to play with pace. You have to have skill. You have to have your defensemen involved if you're gonna, compete and be successful. So, we've tried to mirror that in some ways, and we have strengths to do that too. We have some challenges to do that through in terms of the recruiting process and things like that. But no, we like our group. We have guys who can play. I give a lot of credit, and we've given a lot of credit to our seniors, and I think it's very deserved. They've done a really good job, not only in our locker room but on the ice, setting a standard for how we show up each and every day, and how we handle ourselves around the community in the classroom, but certainly on the ice as well. So, I think our team's done a really good job that way. We certainly have a structure that we play within, but we try to teach guys to be hockey players, to use their skill when the situation calls for it. So we don't put a ton of restrictions on guys when they have an advantage with speed or with numbers or things like that. So I think that helps, and I think as you're recruiting, when you go back to Ottawa and you have guys like Anthony Nellis and Owen Guy and Pete Viet on your roster, kids know, how good a hockey players are, and they want to play with guys like that. And whether it's PC, USHL, North, whatever it is, those guys really carry a flag for you. So when you look at a guy like Dustin Mann's having a good year out in the BC League, and guys throughout, it's really important for your next pieces and what you're going to bring in there. So we certainly want to play with the puck and use our skill, and we're doing a good job early on.
Well, we always get questions about recruiting too, and I know that you got a verbal commitment in the last several days from a player, and you've also signed a player to an NLI this fall. And I understand that whole system has changed now too. There's not a definite date on when you got to sign by, et cetera. You can pretty much sign anytime between now and
Yeah.
next spring, and that's a change in the NCAA rules there. But what can we talk about at this point? You just mentioned Dustin Manns, the young man out of Vanderbilt, Michigan, who's playing in the BC League. He's scheduled to be in here next year. We're going to lose three senior forwards and a senior goaltender. So I'm thinking we need a few wingers and we need a goaltender.
Yeah, no, and that's it. And again, I think in today's world, you never know. We got different guys throughout the building or people throughout the building, whether it's advisors, whether it's NHL personnel, and we have guys getting talked to, and that's you don't know until you know. And so again, we don't want to be caught in a situation where we're unprepared for some early departures. And I think probably don't like it as a coach, but in today's world, when you're not playing much or you feel like you're not getting an opportunity, those kids aren't sticking around very long in today's world, for a lot of them, and some do, and some stay with it and stay with the process and try to work through those things. So there's a lot of unknowns in the recruiting world in these days. I was just talking to a general manager from a certain team, and he mentioned there was a decommitment the other day there, and there's three, four teams already on them. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. And again, we like the guys coming in. They're obviously been part of our plans for a while now, and not a lot of losses, but we certainly know the four seniors that'll be out of the program. I think there's two or three flight risks both up front and on the back end with some guys, and we're going to try to continue to improve our talent. And we're pretty honest with guys, whether it's Diego Cuglietta, as a senior 3 4 years ago, our job is to go find better hockey players. As much as we might like Diego or Anthony or whoever it might be, we're not doing our job if we're not out there trying to find better hockey players each and every time. So, that's what Mike and Zach, when a big part of their job is to go out there and do that, along with myself, and that's what we do on a daily basis.
We've got we mentioned Manns. He'll be coming in next year for sure. What's the stance on Nico Selivanov and on Roberts Bluger? Are those guys that have to come in next year?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. Those two guys are 20-year-olds, and Nico's having a good year out in Cowichan Valley. The team's a little bit of a rebuild. They have a new coach in there, a guy I know really well, and does a good job preparing guys. But he got a late start on that job, so it's been a little bit of a challenging year for there. Same thing with Robert Bluger's down in Madison. They're the team wise is not having a great year, but both those guys are having strong campaigns and guys that we're real high on, and bring some different elements. So those are two of the pieces that we plan on bringing in. And again, it's a moving target. You never know, but we'll have some departures like everybody does these days. There'll be some guys that we want back. They'll have a chance to sign, or maybe they graduate and transfer like Matt McArdle. So we're just trying to be prepared to handle those situations.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. You got right now Colin Sackelman's got 6 goals. That's got to raise eyebrows. There got to be people looking at him and saying, hey, this guy's a good defensive player, skates pretty well, and he's scoring goals.
Yeah.
Somebody could come after him before the summer is on us. And in a kid like Steven Ruggiero, he's already drafted by Anaheim. Maybe Anaheim wants him to go play in the lower pro ranks or something to get a little bit more experience. So you don't know, and
No.
you got to kind of plan for all these things. And some of the commitments will be interesting here, and we'll get into some names on those as we can do so. How much recruiting work do we do in the Canadian Sioux at this point? We seem to get criticized a lot for not picking up kids out of the Sioux, Ontario area because so many of them go OHL and end up playing at a fairly high level. They'll go play pro. But those kids, somehow, we haven't had a lot of good luck with them in recent years. When we do get one to commit to us, generally they don't stick around.
Yeah, well, and that was obviously a big topic last night with some of our alumni talking with all the guys across the bridge who, you know, started this program, and we're a huge core of it, you know, and, you know, it'd be great. I'd love to get the best players to stay home from our side, from their side. You know, obviously we've got a couple of the locals with Chase and Ashton, which is awesome. You know, I love going to my son's U8 practice and ask him who their favorite player is, and it's always Ashton Calder and Chase Gamblin. You know, we need you know, both sides of the bridge to produce talent. And, you know, I obviously the kids across the bridge, there's so many kids over there that don't even know about the NCAA. You know, they're 8 miles away and, you know, just a mere minutes away, but it's they don't know about it. So, you know, we're always active. We've had, you know, most of those kids to our locker room and try to at least expose them to the NCAA and to Laker hockey. But, you know, that battle with the OHL will continue to be challenging. But, you know, we've got a young man committed. Jesse Tucker is a Northern Ontario kid playing down in Green Bay, having a real good year, signed last year with us. So no, we're on everybody. Believe me, if it's certainly within, you know, an easy 4 hour radius, you go Northern Ontario, we'd love to keep those guys home. Across the bridge would be natural, but you know, it's not like they're not recruited or draft rights or things like that. So that's the battle, more so than recruiting against Michigan or Northern Michigan. You're recruiting against the OHL and their drafted teams. And you know, those Northern Ontario kids, that's what they know. They don't know the NCAA very well, many of them. That's just the battle. I'll try to educate them, get them over here early enough to have a chance at them. But no, believe me, we're on those guys and trying to make that education process and, you know, have a chance to make them Lakers.
All righty, and we'll continue to talk about that on future shows as well. We're going to take our final break tonight. We'll be back. We'll get to the questions from our fans here at the Antlers. More Laker Hockey Show coming your way on ESPN 1400. All right, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show tonight from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten, and questions from the fans who are here with us tonight. We had a split on the weekend with Northern Michigan, winning 4-2, losing a tough one 2-1. And now this weekend we got Minnesota State coming in, and our first question tonight from our fans here is, how important will time and space be this weekend with this team?
Yeah, no, great question. I mean, that was really probably our first talking point on Monday with the guys. You know, our Mondays, we usually review the past weekend, kind of hit our process and grade ourselves out in a handful of areas. You know, talk about the itinerary for the week. And obviously when you're home, it's a little bit easy to do that way. And then kind of introduce next week's opponents. And if you give them time and space, you're in big trouble. You know, they're too good to let Michaelis wind up and Spooner and on down the road, to let them wind up and let them use their skill, use their speed. So no question about it. You know, we want to play tight, you know, be in hip pockets. You know, you've got to do it with good angles and with a good thought process. You can't just run at them, because they can make you pay that way as well. But if we're going to have success, you know, we want to get the, you know, frustrate them a little bit by denying time and space. No question about it.
Stick on stick weekend for Lake Superior State. There's been a great deal of displeasure over officiating this year. A lot of the fans are talking about it during and after games. We got a lot of rookie officials in the league at this point. I think Bowling Green was kind of a nightmare for us, especially on Saturday night. But what are the points of emphasis that the officials are really tacking in on this year?
Well, it wasn't a rule change year, so there was no major changes. You know, line changes, they wanted to, you know, you're no longer allowed if you're a forward coming back in the zone and you're 10 feet away from the bench and a guy jumps out the other door, they tightened that window up, and you saw, that's why you've seen, you know, part of the reason why you've seen some of the too many men in the ice calls. So that was a point of emphasis. There's supposed to be a point of emphasis on forceful slash to the hands or sticks. You know, that's an area where I don't think we've done a good enough job, you know, in our league. Like, I don't know why we don't try to follow the NHL standard. Maybe we don't have, you know, full-time guys that are – that studied and that experience to do it. But I think for me, my frustration is, you go from Friday to Saturday, and again, I feel like a bad coach because maybe we've got to go out and just maul teams and slash teams and whack teams. But it seems like, Bowling Green Saturday, a little bit, I thought this past Saturday as well, the standard changes. It's, a fairly tightly called at the standard set early on. And then Saturday, it's kind of like a no holds barred. You're getting wrapped up. Anthony Ellis touches the puck and there's four slashes to him. And so, yeah, I mean, I know Mike Hastings is a big vocally that wants an NHL standard. I might regret saying that this weekend with a team like Mankato coming in. We might want to be able to wrap and slash and try to, take away some of the skill and speed they play with. But like you said, we're an entertainment, and I don't think people come to see bear hugs and slashes. You want to see skilled guys be able to have space and time like Nellis and Humitz and Gels and so on. And it is what it is. There's been some well-called games. There's been some games that you don't like, and that's always the case. It's a thankless job, a tough job. I think we can be more consistent as a league, and I think that's what we're striving to do. Every coach does are supposed to provide feedback and evaluations after every weekend, and so hopefully, we're using that as a league to educate our refs and maybe be on the same page. But within our own coaches' body, like I mentioned, Coach Hastings, being very vocal of wanting kind of more of an NHL standard. Believe me, there's some coaches that don't want that standard. They want to be able to clutch and grab. And so, even with our own small body, there's a lot of differing opinions on what should be called and shouldn't be called. So it's a challenging thing, and we've seen both sides of it.
Okay, another question from the fans here tonight. We've seen several goals against caused by blind drop passes in our zone to defensemen who weren't there, which resulted in a breakaway for the other team. That may have happened a couple times, but I don't think that's a big problem we've got.
Yeah, I know if anybody's referring to the one Saturday night, it wasn't a blind drop pass. It was a turnover. We were trying to, hit a support winger and didn't make a great decision on using the boards instead of trying to force it up the middle. So yeah, I can't think of a ton of them. And certainly, a blind play is never probably ideal. We talk a ton about our puck management, and but yeah, to me, I can't think of a ton of the blind drops. We've had some where, because our D are looking to activate and join the rush, that we haven't managed pucks well. So, might be a little bit more on the puck carrier to make a better decision or not turn it over. But also on a defenseman, that you can't cheat and jump and activate if we don't have full possession. So I think that's happened to me a little bit more, where we're so excited to join and activate and help on the transition, the rush play, that we're a little bit too ahead of the play and give up some chances that way. So we are trying to address that and clean that up.
Now, as a coach, are you concerned about heavy special team use of top players, which takes a lot out of them during the second game of a series? Is there a problem with that at all? These guys getting tired, maybe?
I think the concern was with the discipline. This past weekend did a better job of staying out of the penalty box. I think we have 90 minors on the year, which is a top five or eight. It's way too many penalties. I think that's a big concern this weekend. They've got an unbelievable power play, and they're a team that has the skill set and the ability to draw calls. I guess I'll say it that way, and help on that a little bit. So our discipline, our stick habits, moving our feet has to be really good. So no, I there are different philosophies, but I think we do mix it up. Obviously, power play, you need some guys who can make some plays, and so you're going to use your top guys. But we do have some more of our so-called bottom guys or depth guys that are taking minutes on the penalty kill as well, and we're trying to develop more and more of those guys. So I don't think it's a major concern. I liked our minute management. Again, Bowling Green was tough. There were so many penalties that it got out of hand. But I thought this past weekend, and even on, again, Monday, Tuesday, we'll talk to Anthony Nellis and Diego and Gage and ask how they're feeling and how their minutes were. And I don't think you're ever going to find a kid that said, "No, coach, you played me too much." But we want to have those conversations and make sure that they're productive 5-on-5 players.
All righty, our last question from the fans tonight. It seems the new players are meshing real well with the veteran players. Are there special techniques in coaching, et cetera, in bringing this about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big part of today's game. You know, as a coach and as a staff, you know, you're always concerned about, you know, your the makeup of your locker room, the culture of your team. So, it's not always a hockey side of it. There's a lot of it, you know, the human nature side of it, and pairing upperclassmen. You know, first of all, having quality kids in your locker room and quality upperclassmen that embrace these guys and, you know, welcome them in, whether they're taking their role, they're playing major minutes or not playing at all. Like that's a big part of it. You know, I do think in today's world you have to be connected to your players, and I think we have a staff that's you know, fairly young, and in some ways, certainly with Coach Sizek, to be able to relate to these players. And you know, we do a lot of individual video clips, things like that, to make them you know, show them and teach them, not yell and scream and belittle. So I think those are all part of it. And then certainly on the ice, yeah, I think again a similar philosophy. You know, we try to. There's never enough time. You know, we want to do more skill development and you know, working just with small groups and things like that. But man, it seems like there's never time. There's so many demands on these guys from the academic side of it, from the hockey and the team side of it. So, but we do think that has a you know, an emphasis. We try to sell that hard in our recruiting, that we try to find a lot of time to work on their individual skill development, help them progress as a hockey player. So I think those are all small pieces of how that can happen.
Well, we're almost out of time here tonight. Another Laker hockey show going by the board here at the Antlers, and the fastest hour on the radio, I think. Don't forget, light the lamp for the United Way this weekend. Laker hockey pairing with United Way to try to raise some funds. And you get a chance there. You can register to get a game-worn jersey at the games this weekend. They'll be drawing for that on Saturday night. And also, there's a pregame tailgater on Saturday night over at Alumni House. Don't forget that as well. And Damon, good luck this weekend. We'll have a Laker hockey talk show Thursday morning at 8:30 right here on this station, 8:30 in the morning. And we'll certainly talk a lot at that time about Minnesota State.
Yeah, and the last one to mention is just that jersey night on Saturday as well. So anybody 17 and under can get in for free with their jerseys on. But yeah, it's going to be a tremendous weekend of hockey. You know, pace, compete, two top-ranked teams in the country. So again, we're really looking forward to it. We need a great building. You know, I'm glad our students are back. Hopefully, everybody's through a lot of the holiday plans and they're available. I don't know what's all going on around town. I kind of get so focused on what we're doing and in our games, I don't have a great feel for some of the community events that are always going on, and hopefully there's nothing major that's going to conflict this weekend. But if you're available, get a ticket, get in there, because it's going to be a great weekend of hockey.
All righty, that's another Laker hockey show from the Antlers. Thanks to Alyssa Bradley back at the station, keeping us on the air, and for Matt Pocket here at the Antlers. For Damon Witten, Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker hockey show.